Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan. You can tell I'm depressed because my fucking team got smashed.
How you feeling?
How am I feeling?
Like shit?
I'm feeling, what can I say? We had a heartbreak loss last year, Baltimore. And then this year, we just got our asses whooped in the Super Bowl. I mean, what can I say? We made it to the damn Super Bowl. Better luck next year. I mean, shit.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get into it, but I want to introduce our special guest. You've heard her before. You are, I'm sure a lot of y'all are fans of her voice. And if you are not, you will probably grow to be after the end of this show. Kai Love, what's going on?
Peace, y'all. How y'all doing?
Doing well, doing well.
It's perfect, good. Perfect. Yeah. Jonathan.
Yes, ma'am.
Long distance forehead kiss.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Much you needed. You needed that.
Yeah,
you
needed much that.
Oh, it was brutal.
It was. Did you get my tweet? I sent you a well-checked tweet. I was concerned about your safety. Oops. And, you know, if you was going to be trying to jump off the counter.
No. None of that was happening. I was just kind of laying low with my head down. To myself last night. I didn't want to talk to nobody after that game was over.
He was in your feelings.
I avoided Twitter at all costs because I already knew the tweets was coming out talking all kinds of shit about the Broncos.
And the memes, that was what was even worse than the tweets. The memes were just off the chain.
It's crazy.
All them Seattle fans, man. Shout out to Rashani, Enrique Black. I know y'all are celebrating. I know they're recording a show right now. Talking much shit, but you know, you earned it.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Much earned, exactly.
A shout out to my peoples at the Hip Hop Digest. They hit us up, let us know that they listened to our Super Bowl preview show and enjoyed it. So shout out to y'all.
Appreciate doing
the damn thing over there. Yeah. All right, let's jump into this game. Lopsided game. Happened to be the biggest event watched in television history now. What about almost 112 million people.
Seems like it's the biggest event watched every single year.
See, yeah, all the top ones are the Super Bowl. Record 119 mil bet on this game.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, some folks lost some money yesterday.
I'm sure. A lot of money.
Yeah, we went in there thinking it was going to be close.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Shit.
And I think everybody did. You know, I felt like it was going to be more competitive. So that portion was shocking. It almost like threw me off my square. Like I didn't know what to do with my life because when they started really beating them down, I was like, ugh. It was painful almost to watch.
Yeah, it really was. And I think that was the one outcome I don't think anybody predicted was Seattle completely blowing out Denver. You could not predict.
It just started off bad. I mean, you had Joe Namath came out in his fur, kind of fucked up the coin toss.
Like, what the hell was that? Like, what like material? It was like a remix fur. It was like seven animals. It was not cute.
Oh, we know he paid a gang of money for that. But, you know,
of course.
But it's Joe being Joe.
Yeah, Joe being Joe. And then, like you said, the game just started off bad. I mean, bad snap, first play. Well, let's just fucking first play kickoff. Nigga got blasted. Didn't even get to the 20-yard line. It was like, damn, man, just take the knee. And then bad snap, safety, and that shit was just like, okay. It just started off and it was awful. Like
12 seconds into the game. Like, God. And then it was just...
I gotta give some love to my defense. They held up for the most part in the first quarter and did what they could. Held Seattle to nothing but field goals for the most part in that. And then, I mean, you can only do that so long. After a while, team continuously gets the ball. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they're gonna score some touchdowns, and that is what happened. I mean, shit. Their defense. Let me just say, their defense is one of the best defenses I've ever seen in my fucking life. It looked like literally they were playing at a different speed than the Broncos' offense. It was crazy.
And that's what me and my father was talking about. We was like, it seemed like the Broncos were playing in slow motion, and that the Seahawks were playing in like fast speed, and it was so not competitive. That was the thing that really popped off the television to me. It was like, okay, did they know that they was in the Super Bowl? I'm like, Peyton, you done been here before, so why is this team acting sort of brand new?
I mean, it's a squad that you got veterans who have been there before, but it's a young squad as well. You got young cats who have never been there before, you know, got to soak in the moment and all that jazz. And I mean, let's just be honest, Seattle's defense is just, they're that fucking good. And they proved it. Yeah. They're serious. And God, their defense, just like you said, played at a different speed. It's almost like watching Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, they were just moving fast as hell. And it was unreal.
I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. They got pressure on Manning all day and didn't even really blitz a lot. They just got the four-man rush, just lit up the receivers.
And that's the thing. They only blitzed four, but it looked like seven cats was coming. And, I mean, what are you going to do?
It was like the Matrix.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, seriously. And then the minute... And it's the play everybody talking about. When Demaryius Thomas got lit up on that crossing route, I was like, this is going to be a long fucking game for Denver. I already saw it. You could just, the difference in speed was incredible. And, I mean, Peyton just could not get into a rhythm. They just kept putting the pressure on him. And got to give some love to Russell Wilson. The man did his thing. And... granted, I still consider him more of a game manager than an elite quarterback. Yeah. But, hey, he did the damn thing. He did what he was supposed to do, didn't turn the ball over, didn't get sacked, ran when he needed to. And, mm-hmm. hey, the man is a beast. And he clearly is a leader, the leader of that team. And as he goes, that team goes, and they're fucking rolling.
Calm under pressure.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. That's the thing I noticed as well. He was so composed and confident. And my dad and I talked about it, and he was like, you know, he reminds me of Joe Montana. That's what my father says. Like, he just kind of understood what he needed to do and made the stuff happen. And when we were looking at statistics, because I was like, why Joe Montana? He was like, look at when he won the Super Bowl. Look at all the statistics for when Joe Montana won the Super Bowl. And they have similar numbers, Russell and Joe. So I was like, that's pretty good, Daddy. You was actually talking some shit. Okay. So I just appreciate that maturity that he showed and leadership. It's like his team rallied behind him, and they won this game in a very dignified way.
Man, just whooping that ass. We're just going to talk about Seattle for a second, man. I mean, Marshawn Lynch, I guess, in all purposes, was quieted. Didn't really do much.
That's why I got to give some more love to Russell Wilson. I'm like, Marshawn Lynch didn't even do anything, so you can't say he leaned on the running game. I mean, Russell Wilson did the damn thing, man, and shit.
He
tore us up.
But that whole damn game was all about that Legion of Boom, nigga. Put the fucking pussy on the chain wax. The thing I have to say I was impressed with the most of this defense was Denver's yards after the catch. As soon as they caught the ball, it was like, sit your ass down. Yep. Like, no scramble, no nothing. And I guess it got bad because there were some plays where the receivers caught the ball for Denver and then started, like, trying to dance. And it was like, get the fucking first down.
Yeah, and that's what happens. You start knocking these guys around as soon as they get the ball. they start seeing ghosts. They start seeing guys that ain't there, and it happens. And that Demaryius Thomas fumble was horrible. I didn't even know who knocked the ball out. I'm like, did he just drop it or what the hell happened? So it was a sloppy game overall for Denver on both sides, all three phases of the ball. And Denver deserved to lose that game. The way they played and came out, they deserved to lose. They did not give it their all.
That one interception was just all Peyton Manning. That was just a terrible ass.
Oh, he overthrew Julius Thomas. Oh, my God.
That was not – for some reason, when we started watching the game, I was looking at Peyton, and I said to my peoples, I was like, something don't look right about him. Like, he looked off to me for whatever reason. And my peoples was like, nah, you just didn't have too much vodka. And I'm like, nah, it ain't the vodka. He don't look right to me. Like, he looked off to me for whatever reason. And I'm wondering, is there a backstory, you know? Like, was he ill? Was he, you know, was something else going on that we just don't know about yet?
I don't think so. I don't think there's, I mean, the one thing I can say for Peyton, he is the only one in that offense who's been to the Super Bowl. So, correct. I mean, all his receivers, I mean, minus Wes Welker, but I mean, his receivers, Julius Thomas, his O-line, this is all brand new to them. You know, it's a big stage and brand new, and a lot of them, I mean, I don't want to say they necessarily weren't ready or what it was, but Peyton's a very routine guy. We all know this from history standpoint, and I don't know if maybe this threw him off of his routine or whatnot. I'm not sure, but he looked out of sync. The whole offense did. I don't know if they were just, if the moment just got too big for him.
You think it was nerves? You think that might have played a part
in it. I mean, the initial snap with Manny Ramirez throwing it over Peyton's head. I mean, I just thought that was just first play jitters. I mean, you know, you're playing in the Super Bowl. It's a big game, and all the pressure. I mean, let's be real. All the pressure was on Denver. All of it. Seattle had no pressure on them. Had Seattle lost the game, nobody would have cared. They would have expected it. You know, but since Denver got their asses whooped like this, it's kind of like, damn, okay. Yeah, Seattle is for real.
I'm just looking at the drives after that safety. Then you punt it, and then interception. Like,
Yeah, it was bad, man.
I just think it was all Seattle. I mean, I know because we're in a society that likes putting up points, so the offense is going to get all the love. If it was opposite score, we'd be talking about how Peyton Manning is so great. And because now Seattle did the damn thing. It's not even all, Seattle was just that dominant. It's like, well, what was wrong with Peyton Manning? I'm like, that defense was
unbelievable.
You ain't doing nothing you won't do. We're going to make you uncomfortable. He's not a scrambler. He's the OG pocket passer. So you shrink that pocket, rush him, touch him a few times.
They took the man off his game. And, I mean, they killed him in all three phases. Defense score points, special teams score points, offense was killing him. So, I mean, it wasn't just the defense alone. The defense did play the bulk of the role. But, I mean, correct. Percy Harvin coming out the second half, turning the kickoff for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, that basically put the icing on the cake right there. That was it.
12 seconds.
That was it.
Yeah. I was like, well, because, I mean, the fact that they won the coin toss and was like, nah, we'll let Peyton Manning go first. You're like, wow, okay. But I figure, you know, usually I'm like, okay, they want to make sure they got the ball second half. And Percy Harvin, all right, let's just shut this damn door.
Quick, right, just right out the gate. He was smoking up that field. And I was thinking about, like, the defense. We knew that, you know, the Seahawks had a great defense. And so with the MVP being awarded to Malcolm Smith, I thought that was fitting for, you know, this team having such an awesome defense throughout the season. And I read something somewhere that said that they hadn't awarded a defensive MVP in like 11 years or something. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah, they had to give it to a defensive player. I mean, there was no way. I mean, yet you could have given it to Russell Wilson if you wanted to, but it had to go to the defense. I mean, they carried this team the whole season. And if it wasn't Malcolm Smith, it was going to be Cam Chancellor. It was going to be Richard Sherman. It was going to be somebody from that defense. It had to be. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. I mean, they did a bang-up job and proved to me, and I told Chris this earlier, I am officially now defense wins championships. Period. That is what it is. Offense wins you games. Defense wins you rings. Period. Yeah, ain't nobody can take me away from that argument either. Period.
Oh, you know that. That's how it goes. Your defense got to be a little solid. I mean, when Peyton won his defense did step up, at least. So, Pete Carroll, everybody showering him love. He makes the environment just so loose. They came out just loose. I know he has his mantra that you play every game, every practice, like it's the last one. That way, when you get to a big game, it's just regular.
He's a player's coach. I mean, he allows guys to be themselves. He's not, you know, you have coaches out there like a Tom Coughlin, some of the old school coaches who are kind of a little military-ish with it, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the way it is, blah, 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 blah. Pete Carroll's a more fun, you know, fun-loving, rah-rah-rah guy. We saw him out here when he was at SC. He made that team dominant for so many years. And, I mean, he's shown he can do the same thing with the NFL and the National Football League. It doesn't always have to be, you know, black and white. You know, you can take it out. So you can think outside the box and do things your own way. And it works. You allow Richard Sherman to be Richard Sherman. Because, I mean, at certain places, I'm sure there'd be coaches who wouldn't allow Richard Sherman to talk the way he does. But Pete Carroll allows him to be who he is. And that's, I'm sure that's why the defense plays so real. They can talk shit. They can do whatever they want. They can get in each other's faces and all this other shit. And they're not disciplined for it. They're just having fun. And I think that's what I take away most from their defense. They have fun. Mm-hmm. They go out there and, yeah, they're laying hits and all this stuff, but they're enjoying themselves right. with it. You see them, one guy knock somebody out. You see everybody run over to him, showering him love and patting him on the head. That they're having so much fun out there that they're playing with no pressure at all.
He's the type that would be, you know, when it comes to discipline, he disciplined and wants to make sure everybody know what's up. But, yeah, he just always encourages guys to play loose and have a good time and always have fun with the game. So I am happy for him. He's taking a lot of beating. And, you know, now nobody's thinking about that 7-9 season. And why do they get to host a playoff game? Now it's like, shut up. We coming back.
Right.
All right, and your boy, let's talk about you.
All right, man, let's just get this over with.
Hey. Okay, let me ask you. Okay, one, you heard this quote about was the play embarrassing? He was like, I don't use that kind of term. That's the kind of disrespectful term. If not embarrassing, what would you call it? Or do you think his point is correct?
That I mean, you have to understand who you're talking to. You're talking to a guy in Peyton Manning who – He doesn't like to think that way. You know, he doesn't like to use those type of terms to describe certain things. And I would call it more so unfortunate than embarrassing.
Okay.
You know, things happen. You know, everybody's not going to play a perfect game. Peyton Manning had the greatest quarterbacking season of all time. You know, but, you know, he did not play well in this one Super Bowl game, in this one game. That's what people are pretty much going to remember for the most part. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, looking at it, he put up Madden-type numbers. It's freaking ridiculous what he did. Coming back from four neck surgeries, leading the Broncos to back-to-back 13 win seasons, two division titles. You know, he took him to the Super Bowl. I mean, as a Broncos fan, yeah, I wish they would have fucking won. But at the same time, I mean, what more can you ask for? My team got to the championship game. We were there.
Yeah.
We were there. You know what I'm saying? Had we played better? Who knows? But I'd call it unfortunate. I'm not going to say it's embarrassing. The game as a whole was embarrassing. But for that specific play, it's unfortunate.
Agreed.
I wouldn't call it embarrassing.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it embarrassing. I would call it fuck upness. Like, he fucked up just a bit. And when me and my father, again, was talking about the game, you know, I went with, you know, the Seahawks, as you guys know. And he went with the Broncos. And he was just like... first of all, when Peyton Manning was traded to Denver, he was traded on my birthday a couple years back. So my father was like, I think that's a sign. I think that's a sign. And then he was like, okay, I also think that Peyton is part of the Illuminati. Because he was like, how do you come back from all of those surgeries and still play so well? We saw in, you know, switching games for a second. We saw in the Derrick Rose situation, you know, him coming back from his injury and how tentative he was playing, you know, favoring the one foot and just not, you know, a shell of a player that he used to be. I expected to see that Peyton, and he showed no signs of that injury, which I just think is amazing. And as Jonathan said, the numbers that he put up and the fact that they made it to the Super Bowl, you know, is something that should be definitely acknowledged.
Hit me with another hit to the gut there with the Derrick Rose, man.
I gave you the forehead kiss at the beginning of the show. Gracious. That was supposed to couch all the bullshit I may potentially say on this show.
No. But I agree, man. I mean, Peyton was great. And I mean, to me, part of it is technology. I mean, technology has advanced. I mean, you look at a guy like Adrian Peterson, who had ACL surgery and came back and ran for 2,000 yards. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, with technology, with the advancements we're seeing in the country, I mean, you know, surgeries, medication, all that's improving. So, I mean, you got guys who are doing remarkable things with some of these injuries. Guys are bouncing back a lot quicker. And, you know, Peyton, he said he wants to come back and play next year. I hope everything checks out well in his physical and the man can come back, because I would love to see my team back there next year.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Yeah, I wouldn't call it embarrassing. Like, if someone said, was your play embarrassing? They went out and played hard. It's just the other team was just that much better. Yeah,
they were dominant.
And so, yeah, I would say disappointing. I wouldn't say embarrassing.
Yeah, I agree.
It was good, though. Now I'm lonely. What am I supposed to do without NFL?
I know.
Exactly. Let's just
go through that little withdrawal. Well,
If you're a football head like me, I still read up on everything, the draft and OTAs and training camp. Oh, I'm there. I read up on everything.
Combines and all that.
All that stuff. I'm watching it. I'm there.
Oh, yeah. But it's still not the same. Like, you still don't get no games. And, like, I get into a routine during football season. So, like my body knows exactly what's happening on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get up. I make breakfast. You know what I'm saying? I watch all my pregame shows and see what's going on. I make my adjustments to my fantasy squads. You know what I'm saying? Then I, you know, make my Dominican punch. Then I go with my friends. And then we get drunk. And then we talk shit. Then we play space. It's a whole thing. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do now? Like, that's half my social life right there.
Enjoy the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, God.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, we was going to ask you, since I know Jonathan and I touched on it, but I'll ask you this first, since everybody's been asking this question. Does Peyton Manning's legacy take a hit with this loss?
I don't think so. I mean, he's a great quarterback. And, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't think it does. I think that we see him in the decline of his career. You know, he's not a, you know, spring chicken. And this happens to all, you know, quarterbacks. They have their time to shine, and then they decline and go off into doing whatever they're going to do and make more money doing it. And I don't think that this at all, you know, tarnishes his legacy. He is an amazing quarterback. So, not at all. I don't think so. I mean, he has his ring, you know what I'm saying? Right. And that's a lot more than some of our greater quarterbacks have said, say, you know what I mean? So we have to, on the strength of that alone, we just have to acknowledge that.
All right. How you feel, John? You still the same?
I'll say what I told Chris this morning, which is, I think his legacy took a small hit. I think had he won this Super Bowl, I think you could make that argument that Peyton Manning, I think he would really truly be in the argument of best quarterback of all time. But I think losing this one, you look at the playoff record, it's a little under 500. He's lost twice in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think now you can't really put him in that argument of number one. I think Joe Montana is the best quarterback of all time. Went to 4 Super Bowls, won 4 times, 3-time MVP. I mean, you can't argue with that. So, I mean, I think he's still top 5 without question.
Oh, yeah,
but I think you really now can't put him in that argument of number one. I just think that's just me.
Yeah, folks was trying to be like, if he won this, yes, he would be the number one. He's playing against the best defense. I think he'll be I think, yeah, he's still in the top five for sure. Do I have him in my top three? Maybe, but I know this is still going to put him, people going to put him behind Tom Brady still. Even though Tom Brady got two losses. I just feel bad because I feel like Peyton Manning, like, he ain't won a championship before. It's like, oh, if you just get that one championship, you set.
Like he has
got
one.
It now. It's like, oh, but you need two, though.
Yeah, your brother got two. You need more than your brother. Like, oh, God, okay.
And then it's get two. Well, Tom Brady got three of them, so.
Okay. Can't win.
Well, I mean, I don't think in this case it's about quantity. You know, I know you guys had on a couple weeks back Big B from In Deep Show, and he, you know, touts a lot about the number of Super Bowl, you know, championships that DC has, you know, the Redskins have. And I'm just like, that's like being like the tallest midget. Like, you know, you reigning supreme among midgets, but like in the big world, you know what I'm saying? You kind of fucked up a little bit. So it's like, okay, so yes, you won it once. Does that mean that, or you won it more than once? Does it mean that if you won it four times like Joe Montana, then that means that you are the best because all of those circumstances of those wins and the people that were around him and coaching and, you know, temperature and like all of the mitigating factors that go into, you know, when you are playing a competitive sport on a one particular day, you know,
right.
It's like, I just don't feel like you can hang your hat on that necessarily.
No, I mean, I hear you. I get what you're saying and I understand. And, you know, rings aren't everything because, I mean, Chris and I have mentioned it. You got Dan Marino, who's not really talked about it anymore, is one of the best, but he is still one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and he doesn't have a ring.
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, you got to take – I mean, you take it into somewhat consideration. It can't, you know, be everything, but like I said, no disrespect to Peyton at all. Peyton is one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best NFL players of all time. And that's how he will go down. Is he the best? I don't think so. I just think with the way things were back in the days and, you know, they didn't have all the restrictions and the rules and all that stuff. And I just think it was a little tougher back in the day, which is why I put Joe Montana as the number one, considering the time he had to do it and all of that and, you know, all that stuff. So that's just me.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Shout out to the Seahawk Nation. Legion of Boom, that 12th man out there. Hopefully, hey, not getting too crazy, but
first Super Bowl ever.
Yeah, so good deal. Rashawn, you want me to tell you, first step is acceptance,
and I have accepted. I have accepted it. It is what it is. Ain't nothing I can do to change it.
At Side Eye Special was like prayers up.
You've been very gracious, Jonathan. I appreciate that. You have good sportsmanship.
I got to be, you know. I mean, I'm not one of these crazy fanatics. Everybody knows Chris and I do not like people like that. I'm not about to go and shoot up Peyton Manning's house and go drop anthrax and Monte Ball's mailbox and all that. I'm not with that. So, I mean, my team gave it a good run. They had a good season. We had a record-setting season. We ran into the best defense in the world. I mean, what can you do?
Right. Right.
You know, got to just take it in stride.
All right, since I know you was talking about Big B team, and since you on, I wanted to ask you, since we talking about football, about your two squads. I know your first team happens to be in the same division, so I can see where that commentary is coming from. Right. How do you feel about your Eagles overall after this season?
Well, I think that we had a great start, of course. You know, Mike Vick came out, you know, the stables, you know, throwing them bombs, making me very happy on the fantasy side and on the real life side. Then with the injury, which, of course, you know, I think that him and Derrick Rose have the same diet because they keep getting injured. And that kind of was upsetting, but I think we recovered well. So under the new coaching regime and the changes that the team made, I feel very optimistic. I haven't felt optimistic about my team since it's been a minute. You know what I mean? So I feel some optimism. And so when you're rebuilding, you know, it takes between 1 to 3 years for you to really get your magic right. And I just feel like, you know, we'll see great things next year. But I'm thinking the third year is going to be a good Eagles season.
Okay. You believe in Nick Foles?
I believe that we all have the power within us to be great.
Hey, man, I got to get some love to the boy Nick Foles, man. I mean, he came in and did what he had to do in Chip Kelly's offense. I mean, yes. It was their first year in Chip Kelly's offense. Nobody knew. We all are skeptic when we see a college coach come to the NFL. We are mm-hmm. not sure how they're going to do. Chip mm-hmm. Kelly did not do bad. I mean, the team did pretty well. They won the division. I mean, you know, what more can you ask for from a first-year head coach? So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I think they had a good season. They just got to beef up their defense a little bit. And, I mean, with the weapons they got on offense, still got Shady McCoy, still got DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. We'll see if Jeremy Maclin comes back. We'll see what they do with the Mr. Racist-ass Cooper. And, you know, who knows? They're poised to make a really good move in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You get your boy DeSean Jackson talking, and I need a raise. Shit,
of course he does.
What don't he need? Right?
He's always bitching about money. Always. He have one good season, want to get a raise, then have a shitty season, and then he shuts up, and then he have a good season, and he's like, "Yeah, I want more money."
That's funny. He was like, he was underpaid, and they were like, "All right, here we give you this big $55 million."
Now he's over. Then he was overpaid.
Right.
Now he's underpaid again.
I need to get more money.
Like, what, right. Nigga?
Stop it.
Seriously. Knock it off.
All right, and your second team.
Oh God.
How you like that big contract for Jay Cutler?
First of all, I wrote a letter to the Bears front office. They haven't responded yet. I'm hopeful. I was like, "Dear Bears front office, you suck. And I can help you not suck as much. If you talk to me about what you doing, why are they hanging their hat and the franchise of this organization on this dude?" And okay, and I am not a Jay Cutler hater, people out there listening. I support Jay Cutler, sorta, like, partly. But I just think that we need to overhaul some things on our offense. And that means getting us a quarterback that can actually perform. And then you get people who always say, well, you know, if you look at his numbers, he had the best numbers of all, you know, of quarterbacks in the recent seasons, you know, pre him and blah, 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 blah. And all of that doesn't matter if he can't win games. And we can't move forward and move closer to championships. None of him having the best statistics for past quarterbacks matters to me if we can't beat the people in our own division. I mean, let's just be for real. It's just embarrassing. Ugh. I'm so disgusted with the front office. But that's all of the Chicago team's front office. They all need to come talk to me. And let me get their life right. I got a plan for every team. Even those Cubs. I can save the Cubs.
Oh, damn.
They asked me. They asked me. I can help them.
Hey, them White Sox going to bounce back, though. Whoop, whoop.
Here we go.
Nah, but I mean, for Chicago, I mean, look, as a Broncos fan, I personally really didn't care for Jay Cutler.
You don't miss him at all, do you?
Not really. He was a dick when he was with the Broncos. I mean, he was an ass.
Hello. And he brought that dictum to Chicago. That's a state of being, dictum. You know, it's a whole bunch of people in that kingdom.
With Denver, I mean, he was somewhat similar to Brett Favre. I mean, he has a great arm. He has probably one of the best arms in the league, if not the best. And he knows it, which is good, and I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, because you rely on your arm too much, you're going to take more chances than most. And we see he likes to throw to the opposing team more often than not. Looking back, you know, I see why Josh McDaniels kind of shipped him out. It's like, we'll take Kyle Orton. Okay.
But the thing, I guess, that upset me, and this is the thing that they needed to take, and I kept, you know, tweeting this, is that they need to take a page out of the Eagles handbook. Because when Vic got hurt, they went with the backup, stayed with the backup, and continued to win games and do what they need to do. When Cutler got hurt and McCown came in and was wrecking shop and making me really happy, what happened? As soon as this dude was like, oh, I feel better. I feel better. They were like, put him in. The savior's back. And I was like, no, sit your ass down. and they didn't listen. And then what happened? Just a clusterfuck of the rest of the season and a whole lot of Chicagoans drinking heavily. I mean, it's not good for my liver. Messing around with these Bears.
Yeah, I know Bears fans was pissed off. I mean, that division was up for grabs and...
Well, shit, who... Well,
Detroit
Lion
choked
fans
it away.
Should be fucking upset.
Bears fans more. Couldn't grab it and fucking pack.
One
like
game
the,
left.
The Packers won. Like, what?
And then got their ass thing. Like, nope, and you out.
And the Bears screwed me over in my fantasy league. Thanks a lot, Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, and that whole organization.
See, this is why was you even riding with Matt Forte? Again, he.
Hey, that nigga was balling the whole season.
He's good.
And Jay Cutler, I only did that because I had to. Hey, man, I didn't have a choice.
The thing is, I picked him. I picked him to win the division.
Who? You picked the Bears?
Yeah, and we were on.
Silly, you didn't know. You didn't know me then. You should have called so I could have redirected them bad decisions.
I was hoping that they was gonna be healthy, and technically, if they were, it was one game out, and just fucked that up. So
they should have kept fucking Lovie Smith. That was their first mistake.
Oh no! Nah, wait a minute. Nah, let's back up. Wait, you like Lovie?
Of course, man. Yes, I think Lovie Smith is not like the best coach in the world, but I mean, Lovie Smith is a good coach. I think he's going to turn around Tampa Bay. Watch. You watch.
He might be a better fit for Tampa Bay.
I agree. I think he's a better fit for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but the coach they got now, he seemed to work well with Jay Cutler.
Overpaid.
Well, now they got to, the training staff got to keep his ass healthy.
That's and a maybe big they get if.
Big if. I mean, I respected Lovie. Lovie just didn't have enough passion for me. You know what I'm saying? He was just too kind of reserved.
Too chill.
And I'm not saying you got to go out there and break your little clipboard and throw down your little, you know, headphone set. I'm not saying you got to be extra with your football passion. You can be strategically calm. I just never saw like a fighting spirit in his eyes. Like I felt like if he was my coach, like that I would be mediocre at best. Like he wouldn't inspire me to be great. I would have to pull that out myself.
I hear you.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to that new Hall of Fame class. I saw Warren Sapp had to come back, retract his statement, and was like, "Yeah, I apologize." Yeah,
of course you
to
do.
Michael Strahan,
of course you
saying
do.
He didn't deserve to make the Hall, and then 3 days later he makes the Hall.
What's wrong with Warren Sapp, y'all? Just
he broke
Warren Sapp, exactly. He broke and got nothing to do and just talking shit.
So that's just broke speech, is what you're saying,
in a sense.
Maybe it's just he's always been like
I think
that.
There's a little bitterness there. I think there's a little bit. Michael Strahan's doing his thing on Regis and Kelly and all that. Or excuse me, Michael and Kelly, whatever you want to call that shit. And Warren Sapp got booted from NFL Network.
Yeah, he made it back home, but yeah.
I was just saying.
No, I don't know. It seemed like that history goes back, and you know, if you don't, I'm like, all right.
It goes back to him thinking that Brett Favre took a dive. That is like, I guess, his one little piss off with Michael Strahan.
Oh, he did take a dive. Because every time they set up, he looked straight here 5 yards away. Was
just
like, I'm
ground.
Falling. All right, here you go. You could have at least faked it and been like, oh, shit, he got me. You're like, I'm going to fall.
That shit was terrible.
But yeah, shout out to him. His teammate, Derek Brooks, though.
Hey,
Derek Brooks.
I'm glad Derek Brooks made it. Deserved to make it. Nigga
ain't
missed a game in his whole career. Got him a Super Bowl ring. One of the most underrated linebackers of all time. Holla at your boy.
First time, first team All Pro. 5-time Defensive Player of the Year 2012. 11 Pro Bowls. That dude was nasty, man. I loved watching him when I was watching the Buccaneers. Like, that
Beast.
Dude just going to kill everybody.
Hey, shout out to the Hall of Fame getting it right finally. Andre Reed finally made it.
Finally.
About fucking time. Jesus Christ.
They ain't get it all the way right, though. Let's be clear.
Who you think they left out?
Uh-oh.
The bus. Come on, now.
Hey, I mean, look how long it took him to get Chris Carter right. I mean.
It took Andre Reed to get in. I'm like.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it takes guys longer than others. Jerome Bettis will get in, though. I did not think he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer, and he'll get in. Probably next ballot, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's getting in. I just wanted to see him this year. Like, I just felt strongly about that because I was a big Jerome Bettis fan.
Come on, what's that? Andre Reed, fifth in NFL history with 85 postseason receptions. And ball, when they said the Bills offense that ran the ball 50% of the time during his career.
Ridiculous.
That dude was net, man.
Ridiculous.
You know, it's like you got Jim Kelly in.
Thurman Thomas
in, but he ain't getting in. Like, come the hell on. And then speaking of Seattle, got the tackle, Walter Jones.
Much deserved. Another underrated player, one of the best left tackles to ever play that game. Couldn't nobody get to the quarterback going up against him. You serious?
That dude was solid, man. He gave up like
he's a beast.
Yeah, those are them gems when you draft the offensive line. You're like, boot, plug him in.
Right. And you just go make it happen.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, yeah, shouts out to them. I always enjoy watching when I get to watch it, the Hall of Fame inductions. And guys just love it, man. They're real appreciative of it. You know,
it's the best of the best.
Yeah, I love it all. Except for MJ, I'm going to just take a shout at all my haters. Like, okay, nigga, all right. Go out the way you went in.
There you go.
Doing you. All right, now I got a controversial topic. Should the NFL legalize weed for health purposes?
Well, first of all, for health purposes, it's bullshit to me. I'm sorry. That's just me. You can say what you want. I understand it's used. People use it for cancer patients and all that jazz and all this stuff. For NFL players, health purposes, I'm not going to go that far.
For pain and all that? Because, I mean, they had it on the Real Sports, and I know they've been talking about it more, and Roger Goodell said he would consider it. He'd look into it and all that. You know, I don't think they'll do it until the country actually legalizes weed.
Well, I mean, looking at it, not me. Players smoke. There's NFL players that smoke weed right now. I mean, and they're taking their detoxes and passing the tests and all that jazz. I mean, go ahead and legalize it. I mean, I've heard, you know, cats come out and say, you know, they know guys who smoke pot before the games and all that stuff to loosen them up or relax them or whatever. You know, fine, whatever. But I'm just, you know, don't blame the pot if you get your head knocked the hell off.
I don't know about all that, but I do, you know, I did read that, you know, with the whole painkillers and that's become real addictive, that they say that the weed just works better and it's not as addictive as popping them pills.
Now, will there have to be a protocol with this, though? So you smoke weed, you know, do you have to be off like an extra week so it can get out of your system and all that shit? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm serious.
They're going to have to regulate it for sure.
So
right. Well, I guess. Okay, so I know a whole bunch of folks that smoke weed, right? And they don't have cataracts, and they ain't in pain. Well, maybe they ain't in a little pain, you know, baby mamas and stuff like that. But none of them, I wouldn't say that they're addicted to weed, but they smoke every day. Like, it is part of their daily routine. They smoke every day, and they're functional folks that, you know, go to work and still do what they need to do. And, you know, this is their portion of their recreational activity.
Right.
But they aren't playing football.
Exactly. Right.
And I'm not drafting you in my fantasy. So I have to be concerned about what this is really going to mean for me, really. Let me just be clear. So I don't know enough about the pathology of marijuana to determine how that would have long-term effects on professional athletes. Because, again, their bodies go through things that ours just don't, you know, just right. In the preparatory of play. Training, you know, season and diet and all these other things that mm-hmm. they supplements and such, you know, cortisone injections, all these things that you and I, we don't do that. So I'm just concerned about how that would all work. And if that, for whatever reason, would affect the quality of play. Because, like, I don't want my football players out there, you know, thinking they running fast, but really running slow.
No, but I hear you. And I mean, more so for me, it's the mental portion of it. Because, I mean, Peyton Manning smoking weed can't do the things he's doing with the calls and all that stuff. Because, right. I mean, let's be real. We all know one of the side effects is short-term memory loss. So you're going to have cats who got to memorize 175 plays. How many do you think some of them are going to forget? And then it's going to call a play and it's going to be like, what fucking play is that?
Oh, yeah, because yeah, you're going to get some guys who are going to abuse the shit out of it.
And I'm in. And
they're going to come out. I'm gonna, ready to coach. You like, nigga, you are.
I guess you coaches got to regulate it. And I'm sure they don't want to have to do that because that takes more time out of their day and most right. shit they got to deal with on their plate. So,
yeah.
I don't see them legalizing that shit.
Yeah, they may. I think at some time. I mean, you got states. I mean,
I think they may say, you know what, if you're playing, I guess, in a state where it's legal, or if they make it legal everywhere or whatnot, if you choose to do it, that's your choice. But we ain't going
to
just, you know.
They may subscribe it to you. I don't know if they're going to let you just like, all right, it's cool. Everybody can smoke. You're like, nah, they ain't doing that shit. What's it saying to the children? Like, shit, don't do fucking crack, cocaine, and all that shit. You know that's how they view it. But we're going to take a quick break, y'all. We're going to come back, talk some NBA, give us our thoughts on the reserves now that they done picked, and legacy of David Stern.
Yes, sir.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Turn me up, son. Turn me up.
Welcome back to the Brothers Lame Sports Happy Hour. If y'all want to chime in, give us any thoughts, feedback, y'all Seahawks fans want to talk shit to this Bronco fan over here,
go ahead.
Hit us up. thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter at Brothers Layman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns y'all may have. If y'all want to talk y'all shit, throw your barbs out there, go ahead. I won't bite back. I'll take it in stride and take it like a man and deal with it. But yeah, if y'all want to know anything, y'all got any joints y'all want to throw out there, or y'all want any preps for your fantasy teams coming up in the near future, let us know. We'll get back at you.
That's what's up.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's get into this NBA talk. Last episode, we kind of got into our picks for the NBA All-Star Reserves. We were pretty good on it.
Yeah.
I was one off. Chris Jonathan was, no Spurs and all that shit.
Hey, don't so, hate, man.
In case y'all didn't hear, the West, and for the bench, we got James Harden, Tony Parker, LaMarcus Aldridge, Dwight Howard, Dirk Nowitzki, Chris Paul, and Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. On the East, you got John Wall, DeMar DeRozan, Roy Hibbert, Joakim Noah, Chris Bosh, Paul Millsap, and Joe Johnson.
Yeah, we said it. Joe motherfucking Johnson.
Yeah, he fucked up my pick because I'm like, Lance Stephenson, bow. There
That's
you go.
That should have been in. Are you kidding? That was the number one snub of the All-Stars was Lance Stephenson, period.
They just wanted to get New York
That's
some rep.
That's bullshit.
Yep. That's what I said. I was like, hip-hop, New York, NBA reserve, New York. You know, we just got to, like, put him in there.
Right. Joe John, what? It don't even look right with his name in there.
It wasn't like with Atlanta, when Atlanta, he was the clear star of Atlanta. Atlanta was playing well.
Nobody on Brooklyn's playing well. Not even him.
It's like, oh, well, they're now they're in the playoff contingent. Let's put one in. And right after that, what, Lance Stephenson gets another triple-double? That's funny. You East, you was just guessing. You said, like, Aaron Aflalo.
Should have made it over Joe Johnson. Thank you. Yes, he should have. Yeah, I don't give a shit how weak they are. He should have over Joe Johnson's ass.
Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's balling.
If you could have put him over Joe Johnson, I would not have had a problem with that either.
That's it. And then, of course, on the West, your boy, DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah, you Clay Thompson. I was like, okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, I mean, you can say he got snubbed, but there really is nobody on the West I can really boot off. I mean, for the most part, they got it right. I mean, there's no one I can... I mean, you could say Damian Lillard if you want to, but he's been balling.
He took Westbrook's spot, baby.
Tony Parker, got to have a spur. Damn it. Chris Paul, if he doesn't make it, I would say, yeah, go ahead and toss DeMarcus Cousins in there, but they probably put another guard in there somewhere. So, yeah, whatever. And just for the record, since Kobe fucking Bryant made it, Derek fucking Rose needs to be on the team. I'm just saying.
I mean, really?
I'm just saying.
He wants it to be counted as an All-Star.
Since we just vote in hurt people, let's just vote in Derrick Rose and just call it what it is. Russell Westbrook should have got in, too.
you really in your feelings now about these NBA players.
Man, I'm just... Look.
I mean, like, what's... Okay, I'm not necessarily a big Kobe fan, so tell me what your issue is. So.
See, everybody knows I'm not the biggest Kobe fan. Let's just go back to history. I wasn't a Laker fan per se, but I tolerated the Lakers, grew up in L.A., so, you know, I'll root for the hometown team. I love Eddie Jones, though. And then here comes this little kid, and they get rid of Eddie Jones because we have Kobe Bryant, and he's an arrogant ass. And then it's like, oh, okay, so this is what the Lakers want? Fine, I'm done. I was just like, I'm done with the Lakers. When y'all get rid of Kobe Bryant, call me later. But now with the franchise in shambles, the way it's looking, I'm glad I stuck with the Bulls. I'm glad I'm with the Bulls and stuck with the Bulls because you know what? The Bulls will be fine next year. They making moves to get prepared. Well,
you jumped at the right time. I mean, he was born in 85.
Yeah. Right.
Like for me, I grew up Jordan. Showtime. Yeah, I grew up on Showtime.
I'm a young
boy. But yeah, I'm not a Laker fan right now either. I will not claim it.
I respect Kobe's game, but at the same time, I'm just like, dude, if they ain't played but like five games all season, they should not be allowed to even be voted in. Seriously.
I agree with that. I mean, watching the Lakers, I mean, they are in the right town, LA. It's just like a bad soap opera. It's like from coaching problems to players' problems. It's just been as long as I've been watching the NBA that I can recall in my 40 years, it's just been treacherous, and in most recent years even more treacherous, because Kobe Bryant is arrogant and all of that. He's another one that I just feel like is slightly overrated in the sense that, you know, he can do no wrong according to certain people. Right. And I'm like, he does a lot of wrong, actually, you know what I mean? And he gets hurt, and I'm just not a Lakers fan, and I'm gonna roll with you on this one. But I'm just going to have to say that Derrick Rose can't get in, though. I mean, I know you tried. I mean, I'm a Derrick Rose fan, too. I rocked my number one, but he can't get in.
All right. So outside of, because we all are in agreement on Joe Johnson. Outside of Joe Johnson, you have any issues with the All-Star team as a whole?
For the most part, everything is copacetic. I mean, you know, just with Kobe, of course, that's my one little
Okay.
Asterisk.
So Kobe will not be playing. They haven't announced the replacements yet. On the last show, since I picked it correct in the West, my pick to replacement was DeMarcus Cousins.
Cha-ching.
Who do y'all think should be the replacement for Kobe Bryant out West? More than likely, Harden is going to start at the 2 for Kobe Bryant. Because you got, I mean, this plan, you got DeMarcus Cousins, Klay Thompson, Mike Conley, Zach Randall, Tim Duncan, Dragic, David Lee. It's a lot of people to choose from.
Monte Ellis.
Nah.
Come back. DeAndre Jordan.
No, come back around to me. I'm gonna have a pick in a minute. I need to choose wisely. All
right, for me, even though they're underachieving, since the game is in New Orleans, got to go with Anthony Davis. I mean, the kid's been beasting. What can I say? He's been balling, double-doubling it, and has been, seems like, the one constant on their team. He's leading them in points. He's leading them in boards, putting up 20 and 10, and he's blocking everything that gets in his way. I mean,
you put him over DeMarcus Cousins?
Like I said, since it's in New Orleans, okay. I think that I would put DeMarcus Cousins over him, but I think the NBA is going to put Anthony Davis in that spot. He'll since they got to get some home counts, hometown. Right. Love.
And see, I was trying to fight against that because I'm like, we speaking about merit or are we not speaking about merit? You know, it's like who deserves to be there? And I was like, that seems like marketing to me, you know?
Politics is usually what
it's about.
Mm-hmm. I have no opinion.
He's worth.
He's balling. I'm not gonna say he's not. He not earned it. Yeah, in,
but we know, like, well, clearly,
you know what I'm saying.
He gets the hometown love. If you unsure, it's all right.
Yeah, I'm. So I was gonna say Anthony Davis, but again, fighting against that, I would say DeMarcus Cousins.
Even though his team sucked.
That's fine with me.
Even though his team sucked, but he balled in too, and we acknowledge that.
Right.
But I'm just unsettled with that. You know what I'm saying? With that decision. I wouldn't be mad if he goes. That's what I'm saying. Okay, let me not have a pick. Let me just say I wouldn't mind if it was DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay. Now that works. Yeah, so it's going to be another big man. I'm just looking at this list. Like, it is a gang of wings on the East.
Yep.
And it is, like, bigs and smalls for the West. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to do that line. I'm like, dang. I'm like, I'm trying to think, who is a wing player? Like, Harden really can't play the three. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is a only, like, small forward, like, legit. And then the East got fucking nothing three starting forwards. And DeRozan and Joe Johnson. My boy Tim Duncan, now that I ain't tripping, get you some rest. We need healthy bodies.
I believe it.
Tim Duncan's one of my favorite players.
My boy Noah made it, though. Let's get it cracking, Chicago. Holla at your boy. I knew Noah had to get some love, you know?
Yeah, I've been a Duncan fan since Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see him in. That's why I was like, all right, Lakers, deuces. Ego is bothering me.
And well, I mean, the NBA just period bothers me. It's hard for me to watch sometimes. And I don't know if it's sportsmanship. I don't know if it's game culture. It's just different than when I grew up watching the NBA. And I'm talking about, like, old NBA. Like, you know, I was a 76ers fan, you know. The Celtics, you know, like I watched basketball for a long time, little girl all the way up until current. And even like the Jordan years and all of that, basketball is just so different right now. And it's hard for me sometimes to commit. I watch it because, you know, once the NFL is over, I got to have my sports fix. But it's just such a different game today.
Part of it, I think, is just it's the talent level. The talent level has dropped tremendously, and it's not as competitive as it used to be. I mean, you look back, you know, through the 80s, 90s, it seemed like every team was 500 and above. Like, all teams was balling. Everybody had all-stars. Like, you just felt like every team had a shot at winning it and going all the way. But now, I mean, look at the East. You got three teams above 500, basically, which is ridiculous. I mean, the West is deep, but even in the West, I mean, you have your same three teams that you pretty much know are going to be the top three. You got the Spurs. Not necessarily. You got OKC. Portland. I mean, Portland's in you know, exception. Surprise, but I mean, even looking at Portland, they're okay. You know, they got some all-stars, but I mean, the talent is just, it's not there. It's dropped tremendously. And part of that is a lot of these kids is just one and done crap. Going to college for 1 year and then leaving and not developing. These kids don't know how to play.
Well, that leads into the next topic about the man who pretty much created what the NBA is now, and David Stern. Retired officially, 30 years on the job. You know, took it when it was... The final was on tape delay, you know, wasn't really being shown much at all. It's supposedly a all-black league, which that hasn't changed, but nope. Supposedly it was all, you know, drug-infested, and nobody really wanted to watch the game. And 30 years later now, it's a damn global sport. You've got tossing him and putting a team in Europe. You know, he's made a lot of changes, good and bad, so... What are you guys take on David Stern's legacy in his 30 years? You know, good job, not asshole, all of that.
I mean, I gotta go with good job. I mean, when you look at what the product that he started with to where it is now, it's like night and day. I mean, you can't compare it to what it was back in the day. I mean, he took it from 10 teams to 30 teams now. He's relocated teams. He's, you know, had two teams in Canada for a minute. I mean, you know, now globally, people are watching in, tuning in. You got Kobe Bryant's a super duper star in Asia. I mean, it's crazy to where the NBA has come, and now you got a lot of Europeans who come to the league. They're talking about moving a team to over to Europe. I mean, he has expanded the NBA far and beyond, I'm sure, a lot of people thought it could ever reach. And I mean, for that, he's done a great service to this game. And I mean, of course, you're going to have things where people don't agree. You know, I'm sure a lot of people didn't agree with the whole dress code he implemented. Mm-hmm. That was an issue. There's still issues to this day people have with the draft lottery, the whole ping pong balls and all that stuff, and conspiracies with that. So, I mean, of course, you're not going to like everything he does. But I mean, for the job that he did, like I said, where he took the product he started with and brought it to where it is now as a global, a worldwide, global known sport. I mean, he created the WNBA also. He opened an opportunity for women to play sports, and it's still going on to this day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of people thought that thing would fold after a couple of years. Yep. It didn't. It has still lasted. And from what I've seen, I don't watch it very much, but from what I've read and seen, it's growing. And it's a growing sport. So, I mean, the man's done a great job. He will be remembered, I'm sure, like most things, for the bad things that he did. But, I mean, for me, I will remember him as a guy who turned the NBA from nothing into something, pretty much.
I agree with that. First of all, he afforded us to go to longer shorts on men, and we needed that. Because those coochie cutting ball,
them John Stocktons,
yeah, they was ball cutter offers. They were not good. So we appreciate the longer short.
Definitely.
I also think he had a tough job. So let's just be clear. You know, we think about our lives and what we do for a living and what we manage in our lives. And for us on these mics, we do this podcasting in addition to whatever else we're doing, and so we manage that. Just think about having to manage the conglomerate known as the NBA. Nice. All the players, all the coaches, all the front offices, yep. the you know, the stadiums, the owners, the, you know, the just all of that, and keeping it in running in such a fashion that we get to be entertained every year and follow all of the madness that happens within that infrastructure. I think it's just something that we just need to, for real, you know, tip off to. Now, of course, he didn't do everything right, but nobody does everything right. And there's been some mistakes and some mishaps. And I'm sure there's been some times that he went, you know, in front of the cameras and had to say what he had to say, and then went back to his office and put his head down because he like, oh, my goodness, was that the right decision? You know, I don't know. But I would say overall, and just in the things that Jonathan pointed out as well, that he's brought the league a long way and he's really made it global. It's something that you can go overseas, and I travel overseas all the time, and you know, go back to the Dominican, and I see like my little cousins, you know, rocking NBA jerseys, like not the old ones that got shipped off, you know, because to poor countries, right. But like, you know, current players, they, you know, they're aware, they're invested, they are watching those games when they can, and you know, I just think that's something that should be applauded.
No, I agree. I think he's done a great job with where he started. I mean, for the finals, like I can't imagine the finals, like, oh, and then on here's the final
delay.
Yeah, on tape delay, like really? I don't get to see the game live. I mean, now it's like
it's an event.
Yeah, he's supposed to like 4 channels show the game. I know he created that Basketball Without Borders, had the NBA in, you know, different countries. So it almost feels like it's the number 2 global sport behind soccer. And the guy's done a fantabulous job. I mean, he's had to deal with race the best way he can because, you know, nobody brings up race like that in the NFL. You know, probably because the main person, the main player is always the QB. Most of them are white. But, I mean, the NBA, I mean, granted, he did luck out. I mean, he came into it 3 years later. He gets Magic and Bird. And he, you know, comes up with the idea to basically focus on the players and not the team, show the individual players some love, and it helps skyrocket. And then he gets Jordan and takes the brand to, like, a different level. Some of it is... You know, what's concerning, I know the NBA is now feels like it's so damn corporate, which can be a problem to me a little bit. Yeah, the dress code was an issue. But, of course, I mean, you know, if they brought up a dress code in the NFL, ain't nobody going to be like, that's racist. You know, so luckily he didn't have to deal with that. He has had 2 lockouts on his resume, which, you know, a little iffy, but... I agree. Overall, he's done a great job. You know, I don't know where he ranks as the best commissioner in sports ever. I mean, he's up there. I don't know if I put him as the greatest. That's a lot. I have to actually go back and look. I'm not sure. But, I mean, he's up there. He's done.
He's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Well, he was the 4th or was he the 5th commissioner of the NBA?
I'm not sure.
Do I research?
I mean, I don't know if he's better than Pete Rozelle in the NFL, though. I don't know, but he has done an excellent job with the product he's had. Yeah, because it is funny now, even though it was smart bringing the whole shine a light on the individual player, now people kind of hate the NBA for that. And it's like it's all about the back of the jersey and not the front. And he's giving love to the small market teams.
Yeah.
But I do agree, taking teams from 10 to 30, that's kind of why you don't feel like you have these real dominant teams, because the dearth of talent is everywhere spread across.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to David Stern. I hope Adam Silver can do a good job now. And
we'll see.
Take it to the next level.
He'll be the next one we're complaining about.
Right. We'll be like, oh, my goodness, Silver, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. That's racist, Silver. let's go through some quick hits. Lala has said her husband Carmelo Anthony is going to stay in New York. You believe her?
All I got to say to her is, shh, why were you even saying anything about it? Why didn't you just say, you know what, I don't know. I haven't talked it over with my husband. We don't know. Whatever he decides to do, that's what we're going to do. Because in all honesty, I mean, yes, he's married. He got to consult with the wife and all of that stuff. But I mean, when it really boils down to it, it's his decision. So, I mean, to sit here and say, well, yeah, he's staying in New York. I know Carmelo was like, hey, why you say
right.
Now I got to answer all these fucking questions. Why you say that? So, I'm not going to sit here and say 100%. She should have shut her mouth. I'm sorry. I don't know why she brought that up.
She took the bait.
And now she gonna have to reap the consequences for it. Because if he leaves, I'm like, Lala, but Lala said, I don't give a fuck what Lala said.
Right.
I'm going where I wanna go.
Yeah, she shouldn't have spoke out. I didn't know why she did that. I'm like, I mean, she in the media, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
should have known better.
Exactly. You know that they gonna take everything, and she's a noted media person. She's not like, you know, the wifey that no one really knows or cares about. She has her own theme, so.
Yeah, I think she even commented in there and said, like, you know, I basically get blamed for everything that he does. People put it on me if he has a bad game and all that. And I know I've heard Kobe Bryant come out and say that he hinted at he needs to leave and focus on trying to get a ring because all he's going to be known as a scorer. Magic said he should stay. It's hard to call because, I mean, individually – he should stay because, I mean, he's not going to get any more. There's not any team that's going to cater themselves around him in that market. He is all New York Nick. He's New York Nick everything. If he goes someplace else, he won't be.
And it didn't help that she crapped on Denver, too.
Yeah, I know you were like.
I was like.
You know what?
Like, you know what? Talking about Denver. It's all good.
We saw that Durant won the supposed duel with him and LeBron.
The supposed.
So we asked, so Kai, where do you think he, at this point, you think he's the MVP of the league?
Okay. So I am a big LeBron fan. And I get beat up all the time in Chicago about it. I got ruthless friends that hate that. I mean, Durant balls for sure, but when we talk about like overall player,
I didn't say who the best player was. Is he right now? Is he the MVP this season? Is he the leading vote getter for the MVP award
right now?
Right at this very moment. Let me go inside my little body and see what my body says. I'm going to give him a slight nod. Okay, I said it.
Oh, okay.
I feel sick.
Oh. I mean, Bron, supposedly he's not shooting them much, but he's having his best field goal percentage ever, and they coasting. I'm not mad at it. They just...
Like I've said, coasting. LeBron could win MVP every single year if he wanted to. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, because... When you're talking about most valuable player, it is freaking LeBron James. Because without him, Miami would not be doing what they're doing.
Miami
so
would be a fucking...
They'd be mediocre.
Miami would be
I
the
don't
Bulls.
Think they would be, I don't think they would be all that. They'd be mediocre without
right
LeBron.
Right now, with the beat up Dwayne Wade. But I mean, if you just took LeBron off and it was still fucking Wade and Bosh.
They have that's all they got.
They'd be a top four
team. But LeBron
team
does everything, and I don't think people take into account everything LeBron James does. The man scores. He rebounds.
Yes.
He passes.
Overall
he defends.
Player.
He shoots well. He shoots free throws good now. Like he does everything. He facilitates the offense too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point guard's job.
Speak it, Johnny.
And LeBron's doing it. He does everything. So, I mean, technically, yeah, he is the most valuable player in the league every single year. But right now, Kevin Durant is having a much better season and does deserve the MVP this season. Up to this point.
Up to this point. That's why I said slight nod. I'm going to give him the nod and I'm going to step back.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the person that's like, oh, well, whoever's the best player gets the MVP award. That shit gets tired.
Say he should get
right.
it.
And
I'm
at
just
a
saying
point,
he could get
he's
it every year.
Put his bar to a certain level.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, he's going to get so much better this season. You're like, okay, he's more efficient. All right.
I mean, yeah, you know, he's been there, done that. I mean, he's doing the same thing he's always doing. So
I mean, they over there losing to crappy teams, and Kevin Durant leading this team to 13-4. I mean... Dude was on a damn scoring spree, beating like the good teams.
12 straight points at 30 or more, or 12 straight games, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Even Jordan couldn't pull that one off, so yeah. He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
Like I said, we'll see what happens when Westbrook get back and him having to adjust and all that. But
For the record, everybody needs to stop that whole he's better than LeBron, though. That needs to be tossed out the window. He is not better than LeBron James.
No, LeBron James is in his prime window right now. Kevin Durant, I don't think, has gotten there yet. I think Kevin Durant has taken a page from LeBron James this season. It's like, all right, I'm going to start doing a little more. Start rebounding more, trying to create for my teammates, play some better defense.
Right. I see growth in him. Right. You know, he's growing, and I like that.
And that's what people look for in the MVP, which is, I think, why Derrick Rose run it. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose made a huge leap that season. Mm-hmm. From the second to third year, you were like, oh, shit. He couldn't even shoot threes.
Yep.
All of a sudden, this fool got a damn jumper. You're like, oh, fuck. And his team is number one in the league. Yeah. All right.
So, I mean, you know.
I mean, so, to me, it's a lot of it is about that. It's how much you progress in that year. So, and LeBron, they're still going to get some love anyway.
Of course.
What do you think of Andrew Bynum going to the Pacers? Oh,
Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Kai.
Well, I liked it. I liked the move. I thought it's gonna help. You know what I mean? I'm as a Bulls fan, because of, you know, my geography, and you know, Indiana is our enemies, straight up and down. You know, from the Reggie Miller days, we got bad blood. It's still flowing through me, but I'm liking that. I'm feeling like that's going to be a team I'm going to need to pay a little more attention to.
Yeah, I mean, as a basketball move, it was a great move for Indiana. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need some size behind Roy Hibbert. Yes. And, you know, you could potentially, I mean, play them at the same time if you wanted to. You got 2 7-footers right there.
Yep.
So, I mean, it basketball-wise, yes. But, I mean, me, I'm just kind of like, Andrew Bynum didn't play the whole year. He went to Philly, didn't play a game, went to Cleveland, started mouthing off and wasn't playing up to expectations and didn't play well, got released and all that stuff. So it remains to be seen how he'll do and if he can buy into Frank Vogel's system, because Frank Vogel reminds me a lot of Tom Thibodeau from the Bulls. You know, defensive-minded coach, young guy, energetic, and very stern, you know, similar to kind of like a Greg Popovich type of thing. So I'm curious to see if Bynum can buy into that, because we all know Bynum can get his feelings hurt. So you got a coach who's hard on you. You know, he couldn't last with a guy like a Mike Brown, although Mike Brown, you know, teams tend to go downhill under his watch. So right. I don't know if it's, you know, disciplinary reasons or what, but we saw how he acted under Phil. Phil's somewhat of a disciplinarian, so I'm curious to see how he does under somewhat disciplinary coach.
But I feel like when you have those type of regimented coaches, you just have to get the right one. What's the Bob Marley quote that says, you know, we all get hurt by love. You just got to find the one that's worth, you know, remaining around for in the hurt.
Right.
And that is what I feel about this move, that he requires still some structure and, you know, he needs someone to assist him in helping to guide the rest of his career. And he just needs to find the right, you know, the mix, you know what I'm saying? And I think this may be a good place for him to really, you know, shine. And even with that tough love, you know, develop some level of respect for that, you know, authority. You know, yeah. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I think it was a good basketball move. I actually think it was a way of, one, not letting Miami sign him, and two, basically like, all right, y'all got Greg Oden, all right, cancel. Now we got Andrew Bynum. What? And he's like, well, Greg Oden doing something. All right, we're gonna throw Andrew Bynum at you. All right, that canceled them out. So that don't mean shit. So, No, it was a solid move. If he doesn't play at all, I wouldn't be surprised. He might, you know, he's just...
You get like 8 minutes
of right. Oh, shit, we need you, Andrew Bynum. Come in. He gives you like 6 points and a couple blocks. And you're like, oh, shit, he made a difference in one game. Cool. But, yeah, he'll make it. And then probably in the offseason, they're like, all right.
Yeah, see you later. Peace out.
I saw this and this was funny. Rockets GM Daryl Morey, he likes just comment on everything. I know he got in all his players, Harden and Dwight Howard not making the starting lineup. This dude said, called Royce White the worst first round pick ever.
Yeah, I heard that, and I was like, damn.
Basically, because every other pick has at least played a game. He ain't played.
But in fairness to Royce White, I mean, you picked him knowing he had anxiety issues and he had, you know, mental issues. That's your fault. I mean, you can't place blame on nobody but yourself. You call him the worst. You picked him, nigga. That's you got to eat that and deal. So I mean, yeah, I mean, the kid didn't want to. He can't fly on planes or whatever his issue is. But you knew that going in, and you picked him. So that's your fault for wasting a draft pick. Got nobody to blame but yourself, sir.
Right, and more importantly, they got a lot of money up in that organization. You know, there's all types of assistance that they offer to their players. Why is this kid, you know, not receiving that type of help?
Exactly.
I mean, it like you just basically, are you like, dude, you need to man up and get over whatever you got? You know what I'm saying? And if that's what you're saying to this young brother, then you clearly don't understand, you know, the history and the pathology of mental illness. You know what I'm saying? And if he has anxiety issues and all the rest of that, that's typically biological in nature and requires some therapy medication and such. And so if they're not regimenting that for him, then, I mean, you an idiot when you, again, as Jonathan said, when you choose that for your team, when you know there's going to be some assistance that you have to offer to that type of player.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very shocking. I mean, he kind of said it knowing, like, yes, I'm the nigga who made the worst first-round pick ever. I was like, damn. It ain't even like he ain't even done. Like, is he officially done with his career? He just like, yeah, that
no,
was.
No, he's on Philly now.
Right.
Riding yeah, pine.
That was the worst. I was like, damn. Out of all these shitty first-round picks? I'm like, wow, okay. All right.
Whatever you got to say, sir. Whatever you got to say to make yourself feel better.
Right.
He took his truth pill that day and just put it on out there.
Well, I want to thank Kai Love for joining us on this episode of the Sports Happy Hour. You know, you are always welcome back.
Definitely.
I know we started tweeting each other not too long ago, and I was like, this girl know her damn sports. All right. I got to put her on. Shit.
Thank you. I just want to say, again, I've enjoyed this time with y'all. This has been a treat for me, and I would love to come back anytime that you want me back, definitely. And I want to, you know, give much love out to the entire Black Is family, and some love out to my own network of podcasters, the Black Astronauts Podcast Network. What's up, y'all? Eyes on the radio.
So if you want to shout out where they can reach you at via Twitter and all the other information you want to give.
Yeah, go ahead.
Gotcha. So if you are looking for me on the Twitter, you can find me at Kai Loves You, KAILOVESU. All of our shows, that includes the two that I'm on, which is Ladies Launch as well as the Pisces Life. Both of those shows can be found on blackastronauts.com. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. If you're looking for a little more risque and interesting adult literary works, you can find my articles on Sex and the Sisters. And my article is entitled Kiss and Tell, T-A-I-L. So check that out. That's it.
All right. Well, yes, shout out to everybody from the Black Astronauts crew. You know, both the ladies and the gentlemen. I've listened to all y'all podcasts lately, so I got some comments coming.
Uh-oh.
You know, heard stuff about Dilla's not all that. I was like, what?
No, did you see me tweet about that? I was like, it wasn't quite blasphemy because, you know, he is Muslim. But, you know, whatever the equivalent of blasphemy in the Muslim faith, he might have stepped on it. I'm concerned.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I was like, you know, I won't go full in, but I was like, okay, I gotta at least say something. But nah, shout out to all them brothers, man. Aaron, you doing your thing over there with everybody. So much love to y'all. And you know, you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio as well. Just look under Black Is, and you will find us in many other great podcasts, such as the Black Is Break, hosted by Casey Lehman.
Going on, sister.
We got a Coach Connection with Brother Malcolm.
Brother Mal.
We got the new podcast, The Jam, hosted by Merc 80.
The Jam.
Looking at the Front Door, main source, my jam. If you want to hit me and Jonathan up, please do. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com for email. Follow us on Twitter @BrothersLayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely appreciate y'all tuning in. For all y'all longtime listeners, thank you for listening. For your new time listeners, thank you for tuning in. Continue to listen and tell your mothers, your daddies, your cousins, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews. Tell your fish, your dogs, cats, meerkats, ants, ducks, geese. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. We have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
Peace.
Link. What could MCs who listen think? It's black thought. Open your eyes and don't blink. Yo, to rock this mic is like a basic instinct. But true. Do set.
Behind me, the mic champion. More than a step beyond. Motherfuckers sweating me, begging me just to get me on. Macro cosmic, micro master.
Hey, yo, I'm all the way, Phil, lay. People wanna see the way the Illadel play. Yo, look in the mirror, watch what yourself say. I'm from S-Pay. No mortal man could test me. Thought I keep aligning it. Upper echelon of it. Heineken, hold the rhyming and flows, reminding them cats to hear me or some shit from back in the past. You half stepping ass. Could never fathom a grasp.
Cause hey, yo, we got a doctorate in cold rocking it. Bringing this apocalypse, nigga, you mad topical. It's my raps, tricks, your optical. Mr. Superficial, I'm ripping apart your heart tissue. This is your official dismissal. I don't study the artificial. Who fucking with the dark crystal? Yo, what art is you? I'm moving like a smart missile. Aimed and guaranteed word to hit you.
When the fifth do get on to perform, you went for it. It ain't no way to censor it. My style metaphoric to bricks and 10-ton stacks hard to lift. The artist coming out the fifth darkness.
We go back like ancients. While you ancient subterranean, liver against the gradient. Afro-American / half-Pleiadian. In your universe, my star's the most radiant.
Every bar, touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, touch this elephant dynamite. Every bar, touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, touch this elephant dynamite.
Hey, yo, it's all the way live from 215. Plus, a mission is denied, so just wait outside. Two extremes collide like Jekyll and Hyde. And I provide you with the swerve you need. But take heed, you travel at light speed. Iller than adventures you might read. Official original breed, the Justice League. Yo, it's the P5D style fashionist. Other MCs, they actresses.
Yo, Mr. High Post, you about to get shot down. Trying to fly above the Silla Fifth compound. You know, since the get go, I rock your disco. Ain't nobody better, but yo, you get my gist. So, see, I represent, so you gotta squint. As far as how I really do it, you incognizant. We cause a new sense and getting decent. So, save you 2 cents. Don't come in my district, kicking out of this shit.
It's just all simplistic, limited, click it. Yeah. Lyrically lifted, touching the fifth shit. Yeah. Trenches of the mentally twisted, you enlisted. Five was the emblem on the mic you got hit.
And
with.
I stop, yeah, till you call me conqueror. Back slapping all them niggas that slept. Thinking that Elo could ever disappear. I'm stripping a veneer with this nine ether reef for crop, reaping premiere.
Check it out. Touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, touch this elephant dynamite. Touch this elephant dynamite. Come on, 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 touch this elephant dynamite. Yeah, touch this elephant dynamite. Check it out. Every, yeah, one team. Touch this elephant.